I am Demetrius Kalagis, a soldier, but above all a Greek. I have always been ready to fight for the good of my country. These two qualities brought me here today, on my horse, leading the assembled crowd. I am now in front of the brand new palace that has been housing the Bavarian kings of Greece for a few months now. I am waiting for King Otto, who is inside the palace, to show himself in the window. He sent out his adjutant to talk to me earlier, so as to be informed of our demands and to try to reach some kind of compromise. I did not agree to come to any agreement. My responsibility as a representative of my people would not allow it. The king must appear in person and listen to our just demands. The people demand a constitution and will not back down. As for me, I committed myself to representing my compatriots and I will keep my promise at all costs. I could not do otherwise. I dedicated my whole life to serving my nation and people, I will not let them down now. I was born on the island of Crete and my family has its roots in the Byzantine Empire. My father died when I was young and so I found myself in Russia first and then in Vienna to study medicine. When the Greek Revolution broke out in 1821, I did not think about it for a moment. My country called me. I dropped out of university and found myself fighting on the front lines. I experienced victories and defeats, captivity, even the mutilation of my ear. No price is too high when fighting for freedom. After the liberation from the Turks, I served at the side of Ioannis Kapodistrias, the first governor of the free Greek state. Educated, capable, but above all patriotic, Kapodistrias worked for the common good. After his assassination, the European allies decided that monarchy should be established in Greece. The Bavarian Prince Otto Friedrich Ludwig, second son of King Ludwig I of Bavaria, was selected to be the first king of Greece. When the 16-year-old Otto Friedrich Ludwig arrived in Nafplio from Bavaria to be crowned king, I did not share the enthusiasm of some, who believed that the new monarch would grant a constitution, as the European powers had assured us. Unfortunately, my fears were confirmed. Until the minor king would come of age, the place was ruled by the Regency, a committee of Bavarians which applied a harsh policy, replacing all Greeks from their positions of responsibility with Bavarians. We soon found out that the Turkish authority had been replaced by the Bavarian authority. At that time, being a prisoner was added to my experiences. My habit of expressing my views openly and my contacts with people who belonged to the Russian party were enough for the Bavarian regents to order my imprisonment. After King Otto came of age, the country was liberated from the state of regency. Although the king showed that he loves Greece and that he makes efforts to make the young state stand on its own two feet, the mistakes of the past and the excessive borrowing led the situation to a dead end. At the beginning of the year, the Allied great powers France and England announced that they were not going to lend money to Greece again, and Russia, which had already lent money, asked for it back. King Otho, in order to get by, took measures that made the life of my people even more difficult. There were wage cuts, cuts in government spending, stopping public works and many more, which of course were imposed only on Greek citizens. No Bavarian lost their place, no Bavarian salary was reduced. Public dissatisfaction went sky high. It was soon announced that the Allied great powers would control Greek economic policy in order to service the loans. This was the drop that overflowed the glass. These events found me in Argos, where I served as a cavalry colonel. People close to Colonel Makrigiannis came there and found me. The colonel had won the love of the Greeks with his military action and with his patriotic articles in newspapers. I was informed of his plans to organize a revolt against King Otto by demanding that he grant a constitution. Makrigiannis had already succeeded in making the politicians go with him. I was asked to secure the support of the army in the plans of the revolutionaries. It was not difficult for me to decide. I completely agreed with their views too, sharing their demands. I explained to them, of course, that I needed time to convince the other soldiers and that it would then be good to be in the capital so that I could control what was happening. It was not difficult to convince the army. Most officers were already outraged by the latest developments. They saw their incomes getting smaller and smaller, making them more and more insecure, while their Bavarian colleagues continued to enjoy their privileges. Shortly afterwards, I was informed of my transfer to Athens. The conspirators had managed to get me close to the center of events. The last 24 hours have passed very quickly. Developments were fast and we had to be on alert. The plan was for the uprising to take place on March 25th to be on the same day with the celebration of the anniversary of the Revolution of 1821. However, Colonel Makrigianis' enthusiasm made him reveal our plans to more people than he should. Our secret was known and we were forced to speed up. This afternoon, September 2, 1843, we would meet for the final details. However, we received the news that the king sent his men to arrest Colonel Makrigianis. We had to move fast if we did not want our plans to fail. My actions from then on can be described as daring, but history will be the judge of that. I became the commander of the army of Athens and we went through the capital on horseback. Everything had to be done quickly in order for the risky surprise to succeed. Within a short time, we surrounded the house of Colonel Makrigianis, where he was being held, we opened the prison of Medres, in the same neighborhood, and released the prisoners. We occupied the most crucial public buildings, we restricted pro-monarchist officials. More and more people went out in the streets joining our voices, everyone in the palace. We want a constitution. For the last 5 hours I have been here, outside the palace. I am waiting for the king to respond to the message I sent him with his adjutant. It is past midnight. But no one leaves the place. The cries vibrate the atmosphere, "Constitution, we want a constitution."